He molded and built a small, lonely hill that he knew would be called Calvary. Then he made the seed that would grow to green stem, gave it leaves, and then gave it sunshine and rain, and sheltered it with moss. He grew the tree that he tears in his eyes. God looked down through time, saw him spat upon, rejected and mocked. Still he grew the tree that he trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Nothing took his life. With love he gave it. He was crucified on a tree that he created. With great love for man, God stayed with his plan. He grew the tree so that we might go free. So that I might go free.
Amen. Also wanted to encourage you through our Sunday school classes. We take volunteers to during this time, during the service time, to be in the back in the conference room in the back behind the auditorium to be praying for the service and called our Prayer Warriors Ministry. And be quite frank, we need you to be part of that. All you to be willing to see your Sunday school teacher or see David Martin, and he will sign you up to be part of that. I tremendously value those that are praying while the preaching is going on and seeking God's mercy and His help for us as we would seek and try to preach and teach the Word of God. If you would this morning be turning to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And appreciate it if all that are able to stand with me in reverence to the Word of God as we read in that chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we begin reading this morning in verse 11, where it says, "According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which is committed to my trust, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." And fathers, we pray, might we add our amen to Paul's words. Make it so, Lord. Make it so that indeed He, the King of glory, would receive the honor, the praise, the glory that is surely due unto Him. I'd ask you, Father, that even today, even at this very moment, would you be pleased, Lord, to take absolute, complete control of everything that would go on within these walls. Father, I ask you to get the preacher out of the way. Please, Lord, manifest yourself. Give a word from yourself today to us. Direct, lead, rule and overrule in every area. And Father, we'd ask you for those who may be within these walls today that don't know Jesus as their Savior. Father, I ask you in His name, the lovely, powerful name of Jesus, that you might be pleased to draw savingly, gloriously, eternally to yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you are going to do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Of course, we may be seated. The end of this chapter, or in verse 17, is really a summary of the heart of the Apostle Paul. It expresses his desire for Jesus Christ. His desire for what he would long for our God, our Savior, our great King eternal. It is thought that these words in verse 17 were part of a doxology that was present even in Paul's day, that these words may quite possibly have been part of the song service of the day in which Paul taught in those early churches. But as we go back in the passage, and as we've just read these verses, it's hard to break in anywhere in these letters from the Apostle Paul, because, very frankly, they are letters. And the thoughts just are connected one to the other as Paul's writing, in this case, to his young friend Timothy, and trying to communicate his heart to Timothy. His desire is to encourage Timothy, to challenge Timothy in the task that Paul had left for him. In verse 3, it tells us that Paul had asked him to stay behind in the city of Ephesus and to work there with that local church, and had given him a charge concerning certain areas of doctrine and so forth. And as he goes on through the chapter, he deals with different issues. And down in verse 8 of that first chapter, he says, "But we know that the law is good, if any man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly, for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for menstealers, for liars, for perjured persons, for if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine." Paul saying the Word of God, the law specifically, had been given not to the righteous, as if there was a righteous. For we understand that we're all here today as sinners. Some of us, hopefully, as sinners been saved by the grace of God. But Paul said the law was given that a man could see his need, that indeed a man could understand that he needed to be made right with God. That indeed, beloved, we all fit in this description in one way or another of these ones, quote unquote, who are sinners. You know, it's a thing today, and I'm not going to dwell on this. We're not supposed to talk about sin anymore. Not supposed to talk about sinners anymore. We don't want to offend anybody. But beloved, I'm going to take the chance this morning. I'm going to step out on the end of the limb and offend you if it will. I don't want to. But beloved, we're all sinners in need of a God to deliver us from sin, to cleanse us from sin. Paul goes on in verse 11, and he says, according to the glorious gospel, the glorious good news. Hallelujah, Paul. Thanks for telling the truth. According to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Paul's thankful for the gospel. He's thankful for that which is the answer to our need, the answer to our sin. And he goes on, he says, in verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who hath enabled me, that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Yes, Paul here in these verses is one of those times where he goes back and he gives his own testimony. He speaks of his own testimony of what God has been pleased to do for him. Talk about where God took him from and where he had taken him to as well. And at times, Paul could be very blunt indeed. And bless the Lord, you know, Paul was more concerned that he get the truth across than he was in being smooth-tongued, so to speak. He could be very blunt and seem even to be a bit unkind, and he dealt with those he believed were straying from the Word of God. And if you read Paul's letter to the Galatians, you see that it seemed like he almost dipped his pen in vinegar as he was writing, because he was so concerned with those that were polluting. They were defiling the gospel. He was concerned. He was jealous of the grace of God. He is concerned that some would harm or do danger to the grace of what God is to us, the good grace of God. He was very protective, and rightly so, of the biblical teaching of the grace of God. He adamantly, means he fervently taught that lost sinners received a life-changing grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. By grace are ye saved through faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. You know, there's an illustration the illustration concerning grace. You work, you get wages, right? You go to work, you get wages. You win a contest, you receive the prize. You do a good job, you receive an award. But when you have no ability, now listen, when you have no ability to work, to win, and earn, yet you receive anyway, it's grace. It's grace. God's giving us, His beloved, that which we did not deserve. That which we did not deserve. If you're here today, and you're saved, it's because you've received the precious gift of the grace of God through faith. That is, through trusting and believing what Jesus Christ did for you. Well, we get here into our passage and we see Paul's estimation of himself. How Paul viewed himself here in verse 12. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Hey, Paul understood how he got into ministry. It wasn't because he thought the ministry was going to be some kind of a good career move for him. No, not hardly, unless you consider knowing the inside of most jails in the world at the time. No, it wasn't because he thought it was going to be a promotion for him along the way. No, beloved, he's in the ministry because God put him in the ministry. It was God that had called him and counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. And that word means service. Put him into God's service. Yes, it was a continual gratitude that Paul felt. He felt that appreciation beyond measure, that God might see him as faithful, as a faithful servant. Paul understood what the grace of God had accomplished in him. And we see here, he speaks of his previous contempt for Christians. He writes here in verse 13, as he's challenging Timothy, challenges us. He speaks of that condition we were in before Christ. How indeed we were all sinners before God. And it was that glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That ministry of the gospel that the Lord had entrusted to him. He who was one time, as he says in verse 13, a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy, Paul says. His previous contempt for Christians. Paul hated Christians. He saw Christians as a threat to the things of God. Now, Paul was very zealous in his Judaism, in his desire to protect what he saw as God's way. He'd been true to his Jewish heritage. We said he was zealous. In fact, he was a zealous Pharisee. He held Christians with the least respect. As we say, they were contemptible to him. What was Paul's life all about before God saved him? He hated those followers of Jesus. And his hate for the followers of Christ had moved him to do great harm to the cause of Christ. I'll read this in Acts chapter 9 in verse 1. There it says, and yet Saul, again still before he was known as Paul, says, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And then in Acts chapter 22, we read this in verse 3. Paul says, and here is another one of those times where he's giving his testimony of where God took him from. And he says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. He's given his pedigree, beloved, that indeed he was one that was learned in the things of God. He'd been taught at the feet of one of the premier teachers of Judaism, this man, Gamaliel. And he says, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye are this day. As these ones were seeking to put Paul to death then. He says, I was the same way. And he says in verse 4, and I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness. He's saying, this high priest knows. I went to him for permission to do it. Bears me witness. And all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem to be punished. And then, that's not enough. In Acts chapter 26, verses 10 and 11, he adds this. He says, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints, many believers, did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue, compelled them to blaspheme, and being made exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even to strange cities. What Paul's talking about here to Timothy was his life. He did everything he could to destroy the message of the gospel, to do everything he could to stop these believers, these followers of Jesus Christ. He hated them. He hounded them to put them in prison and even to see them put to death. Paul wasn't exaggerating here, beloved. He did. In fact, it says here in verse 11 of Acts 26, he says, I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. I did everything I could to get them to reject that name, the name of Jesus, and to blaspheme Him. Paul, when he says, I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, he was indeed one that hated the cause of Christ. I was sharing in my Sunday school class this past week. I had the privilege to read a biography of John Newton, the writer, of course, of Amazing Grace. What a song it is. I amongst lost and saved alike, respected as one of the greatest hymns of all the Christian era. In reading the life of John Newton, I was struck. I knew that he had been involved with the slave trade, the ugly, hideous slave trade, and all the literally hundreds of thousands that were taken from Africa and taken to the West Indies and, of course, to the shores of America and other places. The horrible, awful thing that it was. But beyond that, as awful as that is, John Newton, before he was saved, was much like the Apostle Paul. He did everything he could to bring shame to Christ, to mock the things of God. And when he would come along somebody on those ships that he served on that had a glimmer of the hope of the gospel, he would do everything he could to destroy their walk with God. And in fact, one man, I can't remember his last name, his first name was Job, had come to serve with John Newton on one of the ships where he served. And this man was tender towards the things of God. John Newton made it his goal to destroy that man in his testimony. And then many years later, when he had gotten right with God and was now a captain of his own ship, he came across that man again. He came to serve on one of his ships. And here was this man, now the very image that John Newton had made him. Job was now the blasphemer. He was now the one that did everything he could to destroy the things of God. And John Newton looked at him and saw the reflection of himself in that man and how it broke his heart. Oh my. The testimony of what our lives were. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, as we read a moment ago, Paul says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." He says, this is good to hear, folks. Receive this, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The Apostle Paul, in his lost condition, as he looked back at that condition from where he was here, he saw himself, how could any man be a worse sinner than I was? How could any man do more to injure and harm the cause of Christ than I had done? But beloved, might I ask you to please be careful. We need to see our own reflection as Paul saw himself, as John Newton saw himself. Certainly, Paul saw himself as the chief of sinners. He's literally the idea of the words. He says, I must be the worst of all. I must be the one that's at the head of the line as sinners. But beloved, I dare say that if you and I could see our sin this morning as God sees it, if we could see ourselves honestly and legitimately as the God of glory, hey, the thrice holy God of glory sees our sin, we'd be right there with Paul. We'd be right there with John Newton saying, what amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. We see Paul's estimation of himself, but we also see in these verses Paul's estimation of God's grace. Oh, I'm glad that's not the end of the story. We see his estimation of God's good grace. And he says twice in this passage, verse 13, he says, but, hallelujah for that little word, but in the Bible, but I obtained mercy. Verse 16, he says, howbeit for this cause. For what cause, Paul? He's saying because of what God had done, because of what Jesus Christ has accomplished. For this cause, I obtained mercy. Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful, beloved? Hey, if you're here this morning and you're saved, you should give God glory for His mercy to you. That indeed, God does not give you and He does not give me that which I deserve. If He gave me what I deserve, He'd open the pit and drop me in. That's what I deserve. But I obtained mercy. Obtained mercy. Stories told. Stories told about a politician of all folks. Stories told of a politician who, after receiving the proofs of a portrait that he had taken, he was furious, went back to the photographer's studio and just in a rage, and he declared to the photographer, he says, this picture does not do me justice. The photographer kind of shrugged his shoulders. He says, sir, with a face like yours, you don't need justice, you need mercy. Think about it, beloved. Do you want justice? You want justice? You want to get what you deserve? Or do you want mercy? I'll side on mercy, beloved. Oh, that God would be pleased to show us His mercy. Paul understood. He understood what God did for him. While he was consumed with persecuting Christians, doing it on his way to Damascus to do what? To put Christians in chains, to drag them back to Jerusalem. And on that road to Damascus, hallelujah, God got in the way. God intervened in Paul's life. Hey, Paul was that kind of a fellow that God had to get his attention. Knocked him off his horse and had a meeting right there in the dust with the Apostle Paul. Paul got up that day, even though he was enduring temporary blindness, with a vision that he had never had before. Where he was once a blasphemer, now he was now a preacher of the gospel. And if you're here this morning saved, please, please remember that you also are a recipient of the mercy of God. And we see that Paul understood that he'd been a recipient of God's grace in verse 14. It says, "And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Receive the God's grace. What a beautiful picture. What a beautiful verse of Scripture. Paul, again, this is Turner paraphrase. Long shot from the good King James Bible. But Paul's basically saying this. He says, "I was." Aren't you glad you can say "I was"? Paul said, "I was a blasphemer and a persecutor. I was one whose contempt for Christians caused me to inflict injury upon them. But the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant." Hallelujah. In verse 14, those words, "exceeding abundant," they're just one word in the original language, in the Greek. Just one word. And the idea of that word means to superabound. It means to super overflow is the idea of that word. God's grace, beloved, super abounds. You know, I thought about the janitor probably wouldn't have been too happy with me, but I thought about bringing a glass in here and using that illustration of just pouring the water in the glass until it just was overflowing. Then I thought better of it. Try to measure, if you could. Try to measure the abundance, the superabundance of God's grace. It's beyond human description, beloved. It's fully on human description. You might picture God's grace as the ocean and going up to the seaside with a thimble and trying to bail the ocean dry. It's a bigger job than you got that you could do, is it not? Can't accomplish it. You never drain the exceeding abundant grace of God either. Do you realize, beloved, your need of the grace of God? Oh my, Lord help us. My prayer for Jim Turner, even though I've been saved 38 years, that I'd never get to the place where I'd lose my appreciation for the grace of God. For the good grace of God. We cannot measure, we cannot exhaust the supply of God's grace to those who will call out to Him. It's beyond any need that could ever exist. In fact, even if you used a 55-gallon drum, you're never going to drain the ocean of God's grace. It's beyond us. Enter in. Can I challenge you? I invite you. Just dive in to the ocean of God's grace. Dive right into the ocean of God's grace. Enter in and enjoy its vast forgiveness. Enjoy its liberating love. Beloved, enjoy its immeasurable kindness to us. Dive in and enjoy its infinite benefits. The great goodness of God's infinite grace for us. It's ours. It's ours to enjoy the riches of His grace. It's ours. Well, Paul goes on and tries to sum all this up. We see his estimation of the gospel here. And we just read a moment ago in verse 15. Again, he says that this is a faithful saying. It's worthy. Deserving is the idea of all acceptation. Christ Jesus. This, by the way, is how you and I got in. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I am chief. Paul goes on and then he says this. He says, how be it for this cause or because of this, I obtained mercy. That in me first, Jesus Christ might show for all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. What's Paul saying? Beloved, Paul describes his own life. He describes the kind of man he was. That indeed, and he had lots of religion. As he served as a Pharisee. He had all kinds of religion. But he was lost and in sin. And in fact, the things of God were a thorn to him. As he did everything to harm, hurt, injure, persecute, even blaspheme. That name which we hold above every name. And what he's saying is, now listen, if I could obtain mercy, then I am a pattern. I'm the example for anyone and everyone who would believe. Aren't you grateful? How many times have you witnessed to someone, tried to tell them how they could be saved? And they'd say, friend, you don't understand. You don't understand the life I've lived. You don't understand the kind of person I've been. It's too late for me. I'm too wicked. I'm too bad. I'm thankful that we can point them to the Apostle Paul. Huh? I'm thankful that there's men like John Newton that we could point to. Beloved, I'm thankful that when I get honest, I can tell them about me and the life I lived before I got saved. And say, hey, if God can save me, He can save anyone. Huh? Paul's the example of what the good grace. I obtained mercy. That in me, first, Jesus Christ might show forth, manifest all, like that, all long-suffering. Aren't you grateful today for the long-suffering of your God? I didn't get saved the first time I heard about Jesus. Praise God if you did. Thankful that you didn't. You were a whole lot smarter than me. But I didn't get saved the first time. God suffered long with me. And along the way was pleased to again and again bring that witness of the gospel, oh, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to bear in my life. And thankfully along the way, God was pleased to show me mercy. Save me by His good grace. His marvelous grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Paul's, how did he esteem the gospel? He was so grateful. So thankful for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apostle Paul wants everyone to know who hear the gospel, to know that if God could and would save him, that He will save them as well. Beloved, I don't know. I don't know hearts and lives here today. I can barely testify to my own heart. But I urge you, challenge you. You be within these walls today. There's the slightest question. Slightest doubt of where you will spend eternity. Please, look to the example of the Apostle Paul. Hear His call to you today. regardless of where you've been and what you've done, regardless of where you are today, the mercy, the beautiful, wonderful mercy of God is here for you, and that His exceeding abundant grace is available to all who would believe. Put their faith, their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. As we close this morning, my purpose, my desire was to help all of us today. All saved here today, we might leave this place rejoicing what God's been pleased to do for us. Amen. But also, for that one, maybe some here today that not sure where they'll spend eternity, that today, beloved, today might be the day of salvation for you. I challenge you, I urge you, in the name of Jesus, call unto Him. Be merciful. Please, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Let's stand together, beloved. Father, we bow before You. Lord, I do indeed stand amazed at Your grace. Lord, I can't even understand why, fathom the reasoning in Your sovereign wisdom that You'd be pleased to save a wretch like me. It causes my heart to just want to worship You, to lift up Your name, Your lovely name, give You glory, give You honor, give You praise, that King immortal. Oh Lord, thank You, the only wise God, for what You've been pleased to do. And Lord, I don't know, as we said, I don't know the hearts of folk here today, but I'm asking You, Lord, please, in Your mercy, oh, that lovely mercy, and out of Your good grace, Father, where we failed to hold up Jesus, I pray You'd take Him and manifest Him, show Him to hearts today. Lives that may be in these walls struggling, not sure, Father, where their eternity will be. Father, please, oh Lord, I ask You in Jesus' name to save those folk. Might today be that day where they would put their faith, their trust in Jesus. Lord, we love You. Oh my, we love You. We love You, Father, because You first loved us. Thank You, Lord. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Brother John.
Page 157.
As we sing, dear folk, maybe you're here this morning and you got questions. You're not clear on just where you're going to spend eternity. Please come. Music will start in a minute, a moment. When it starts, don't hesitate. Don't hesitate a moment. Just come. I'll meet you here at the front. We'll get someone to show you Jesus and what Jesus has done for you. Put your faith blind. Put your trust in Jesus Christ. The one, the only one that can do for you, Brother John.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. To Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. For nothing good have I, whereby Thy grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's Lamb. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I hear the Savior say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Beautiful song. Tremendous testimony what God's been pleased to do for us. Oh, yeah. Even when we're weak and frail, God does it all. He's able. Thank you, Lord. You can be seated. Kurt's going to come in a moment, but I wanted to put in a couple advertisements before he comes. The first one is regarding our family conference, family revival here in beginning April 15th with Dr. S.M. Davis. And I just want to challenge you, young, old, be here. Come. I know that Brother Davis will preach and teach us from the Word of God. And it'll be, he's a straight shooter. He's going to give it to you where sometimes between the eyes. But what we need to hear in these days. And please invite folks. We're trying to invite other churches to let them know what will be going on, even on, it'll begin Sunday morning in Sunday school, and we'll run through that all day Sunday, the regular hours, and then again on Monday and Tuesday evening at 7 p.m. And there's announcements on many of the doors concerning that, so please be mindful of that. And as well, men, there's very, very few men get-togethers or retreats or so forth that I recommend and take part in. But the one that Bible Baptist Church of Stillwater, Oklahoma puts on, and I heartily recommend. And we've got sign-up sheets for that in both foyers, and we want to take men with us up to that. I believe it's the 27th, I go to say that, and I'm not even remember for sure, 27th and 28th of April, a Friday night and Saturday. We'll leave here around the middle of the day on Friday, get back home around supper time on Saturday. You know how you judge things. thinking lunch on Friday, supper time on Saturday. But it'll be tremendous. Great music, tremendous preaching. It'll be worth your time. Dad's good place to take your sons. Good place to go and do something with your sons where they'll see. The last time I was there, they haven't had it for a year and a half. There is between 1,800 and 2,000 men in one room, not afraid to give God glory, lift their voices to sing for Him and to praise Him. It was really, really beautiful and tremendous. So I encourage you in those two things. Curtis, you come.
Gentlemen, if y'all come forward, we'll receive this morning's offering. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for everything you've given us. Lord, thank you for the wonderful message we heard today, Lord. Thank you for each and every one of us here today, Lord. And we do have some out. Give them traveling mercies. Bring them back to us safe. Be it this offering about to receive, be it the gift and the giver. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. More announcements. We do have a missionary tonight with us. He's going to be giving his update on his field of India. Apologetic students, today's the day. If you don't have it done today, oh well. Tomorrow night, starting the bibliology for Brother Bruce's class. And I think that's about all that we need to cover for right now, other than the usual. Hey, Miss Renee is doing a good job with this. Take the time to read this. There's information that's in it that last week we heard stories I did not know anything about what was going on. It was in the bulletin. It really was. So, your turn.
Let's sing our chorus. I will sing all the mercies of the world. I got that wrong. I will sing of the mercies. Wow. Let's sing.
I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, with my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
You know what it is? I can sing it, I just can't say it.